the waters of Babylon. We sat down and wept for these Zion. We remember, these Zion by the waters of Babylon. We sat down and wept for these Zion. We remember, these Zion. Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked of us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. That was the song of God's people who had been forcibly exiled, taken at spear point from home, and transplanted lifetimes, it seemed, away by the river Babylon. It was a song of lament, and rightly so. How can you sing the songs of the Lord? I sing the mighty power of God when you are going through that. In fact, when we go through difficult times, when we are in a foreign land, how can we sing the songs of Nigeria? How can we sing the songs of praise when we mourn our dead? By the waters. The old song. And yet, a new song was creeping in. A new song that took time to be sung. A new song in which God was at work. God was at work in the old song as well, for Scripture affirms that it was by God's hand that even the bad which happened to God's people had its genesis in the Lord. That there is not in this world a God of dark and a God of light. That there is not a God of the bad things and a God of the good things. It's called dualism. And many world religions still to this day see things in those terms. But that was not the religion of Israel. In all things, the people of God saw the hand of the Lord. Even in the exile, and it was Isaiah himself who spoke of God's hand in the exile. But here, in the second part of Isaiah, we hear God's hand as well in the new song. And we see the means by which God has chosen. It had been Nebuchadnezzar who had been the ruler in what is presently Iraq. It was Nebuchadnezzar whose policy it was when he occupied, he took over a nation, not just to wreak havoc, not just to kill, but to uproot populations as a means of control. That was their way of holding on to power. That was Babylon's strength. For if you take the best and the brightest out of a country, it's easier. It is easier to control the population that remains. You take people out of their element and move them somewhere else. It was a forced immigration system all over the ancient Near East. And it threw things into turmoil. Of course, the best and the brightest were brought to Babylon. It can be said that it was there that Judaism was born. That dark time was perhaps the most productive time in the life of God's people. That a good portion of what we call the Old Testament came into existence, was written down during that period. But a new song was sung, and a new king came into existence over in what is presently Iran, of all places. A person by the name of Cyrus. Interesting fellow, was very much a despot like Nebuchadnezzar. But he had an alternate vision. Whereas Nebuchadnezzar divided and conquered, Cyrus united and invited. When he conquered a land, he did not tear it apart, but incorporated it and brought its people up. He was perhaps one of the most enlightened emperors of that day and age. And it's said that even the later Greeks, who were the architects of what we know of as democracy, looked to Cyrus and some of the things that he did. He came, and when he came to the gates of Babylon and was triumphant, he reversed the policies of Nebuchadnezzar. And through his successors, eventually, people like the people of Israel, the children of Israel, found their way home. Now it's interesting that during his reign, Cyrus commissioned something to be written. And it still exists, a piece of archaeology. It's called the Cyrus Scroll. And in the language of that day, it proclaims that the god Marduk, which is who Cyrus worshipped, that the god Marduk had anointed Cyrus and appointed him as his representative to go before him. And in words that sound strangely familiar to what we have just heard in Isaiah, sent him forth to set the world free. What God does through the prophet Isaiah is to shift and say, in effect, no, it was not Marduk. It was Yahweh, the God of Israel. And whereas Marduk was one of many gods, in fact, a god who in the creation myths of the ancient Near East, the god Marduk defeated the god Tiamat. Tiamat, who was the god of the deeps, the oceans, the god of darkness. And Marduk defeated Tiamat. In this interesting passage, God says, It's not a God of darkness and light. It's not Tiamat and Marduk. It is not good versus evil. In a verse that is central in the Old Testament, it says, I, the Lord, form light and create darkness. I make wheel being an old English word that we use here in this particular translation. A wheel comes from the Middle English, the Old English word wella, which we use when we welcome people, we welcome people, we wish them well-being. I create wheel and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. I am God. In an interesting passage, for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you, it says here, referring to Cyrus, by your name. I surname you though you do not know me. And as if to emphasize that fact, it says it again. I arm you though you do not know me. A couple thoughts on that. Cyrus, yes, he was an enlightened despot, but he didn't know God. And yet God still used him. Gives us hope a little bit in this day and age, doesn't it? Doesn't it? That God can use people who don't know God. Imagine what God can do with people who do know him. I mean, certainly if God can call and name and send somebody like Cyrus, maybe, just maybe, God can call and name and send you and me. A new song. A new song God calls us to sing. Not that we forget the old song, because there are times when by the waters of Babylon we do lay down and weep. And yes, there are times when the old songs of praise and adoration just don't sound. They're not our song. And yet, even through that, God brings into being a new song. Not Cyrus' song, but a Gina song, a Eugenia song, a Sarah song, a Mel song, a Patty song. You fill in the gaps. I call you, I surname you, know me.